Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
You're tuned into the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that helps you take control of your financial future, whether you're 5 to 10 years from retirement or just getting started. We've got the strategies, tools, and experience to help make the most of your nest egg. Retirement Planning Specialist David Pipes is a trusted voice in retirement planning, helping Americans navigate 401k rollovers, income planning, tax strategies, and everything in between. Now, let's dive into today's show and start paving the way to your smooth retirement. Alongside retirement specialist David Pipes, here's your host, Jim Terabocchia.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition, a brand new episode of the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that delivers expert insights, actionable advice, and real-world financial strategies to help you retire confidently and comfortably. Thank you for making our show a part of your weekend. I'm your host, Jim Terabocchia, alongside retirement planning specialist David Pipes. David will be along in just a moment. The retirement countdown. Are you ready? 5 years away, maybe 1 year away. Coming up on today's show, we'll tell you what to do before you retire. Plus, do you need more time to prepare? And are you pulling back your retirement savings? That's all coming up. But first, before we get the show started, I want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and schedule your 100% complimentary consultation with retirement planning specialist David Pipes today. It's a free offering just for listening to this show. Our listeners can meet with us to review their own financial situation for your family or for your business, and there's absolutely no obligation. Visit retirementplanningpipeline.com to get started. All right, David, welcome in. Let's get the show started. Are you 5 to 10 years from retirement? Well, this is where the real planning begins. 5 to 10 years before retirement is often called the retirement red zone because you still have time to make meaningful changes, but not a lot of time to recover from major mistakes. First, you want to shift your mindset from growth to income. Next, take some chips off the table. Then start building your retirement income strategy. And finally, build a balanced retirement portfolio. So, David, when you sit down with someone who's entering that 5 to 10 year window before retirement, what exactly is the retirement red zone? And why do you believe it's such a critical period in the retirement planning process?
Yeah, I think that the red zone we're talking about is when you're looking at the, you know, the time that it adjusts to transitioning your assets into some income producing assets. And I think people a lot of times get the wrong idea about this. People think that their money's just in the market forever, right? And you could just all of a sudden start taking money out and selling stocks and, you know, and I think that's the big problem. And I think that the retirement red zone starts, I think, really around 10 years. And it really hits 5 years before retirement. And why it's so important to really transition the assets into income producing assets is because if you miss the wrong boat and the market does make a downturn, your retiring might be delayed. And that's where I think as a financial advisor, it's our idea and our duty to make sure that you don't have to make retirement a farther down the road process and make sure it's an easier process and right when you want to. Sometimes I even think it's a cool way to make it earlier, right? Because I think that some people don't even understand that we still have the ability as a financial advisor the right way to make retirement easier at an earlier time period, you know? And I say that because a lot of clients will come in thinking that they, you know, the normal retiree age is 67 or 65 and I'm able to help them retire even earlier. And then it kind of opens their eyes to things. And that's where it starts. I think why it's so important, the retirement red zone is so important to understand early, because if you do understand it early, it might even change when you can retire. And if you meet the right advisor, wink, wink, you know, I'm sure we could possibly make that work. But, you know, you'll never know unless you do the numbers and see how you can immediately shift the growth to income. But, Jim, you pull up a great point, and I think that the growth to income part is what plays a big factor. Because I say this a lot, advisors in general don't like to talk about switching from growth to income. And I'm guessing all of you out there know why, right? And it's not rocket science, right? You take more income or you transition more money from the market to income. That affects the advisor's fees. That affects the advisor's investable amount of assets. The company that, you know, if you're with a corporation or a company that is hiring that advisor, it's taking assets from them. So the training mechanisms it takes to for advisors to understand the best for the client is just different. And I think that really, Jim, if you want the really big, you know, the big gorilla in the room, it is. It's the fact that the advisors aren't trained properly and that we're not looking at the client's best interests. We're looking at ourselves and we're biased. And we might say, oh, it could still help them. I mean, yeah, but are we helping them the most? Is the transition in the retirement red zone when that time comes up, is it the right process? And we're going to go over a little bit about that today. I know you're going to have some questions for me, and I'm super excited to go over that. But I think that we need to switch our mindsets around, right? From what we used to think about to now, hey, we've got a certain amount of assets, and growth and income have to be separated. Because all of our lives, we looked at income. Mm-hmm. Well, I asked a client earlier today, I said, why would we look at our next 10 years the same that we did our last 20? Mm-hmm. They're totally different, right? When that retirement red zone hits, right, income producing assets are going to be starting to correlate, right? Or cash flow or, you know, money coming out of investments, okay? Instead of what? Money going into investments. And we don't position and talk about that enough because every advisor and every company wants to somehow keep the majority of assets in the market. And it's hard to understand, right? Because people are taught that their entire lives. But Jim, you know the most because, I mean, you've listened to me episode after episode after episode. I truly try to make people understand it as a mathematical side of it, right? Mm-hmm. And when you think about it logically, it kind of, you know, and if you're listening out there and you're thinking to yourself, David, what are you like? Okay, so tell me, what are you talking about? Right? How can I do that? Right? It's just the simple process of other alternative investments, right, being a part of your plan, having a holistic approach in the market when it comes to an advisor, not just wanting one thing, putting all your eggs in one basket. And a lot of people are like, well, I've got money in the market, but I'm diversified. Hey, listen. Everything in a security, okay, has a risk to it. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, oh, I'm diversified. No, I mean, you've got systematic risk. You've got non-systematic risk. You've got, you know, cyclical risk. You've got environmental risk. You've got business risk. You've got everything that comes into the stock market, bond market, whatever you want to say. There's a certain time when you have to eliminate that risk for income,
right?
Because clients don't have the ability to take that risk when it comes to their income they need for the next 20 years. So that has to be separated as a thought process for an actual advisor has to think about the client. And that's what I think what makes me so successful at a young age is talking to the client about their goals and needs first and assessing the income first.
Right. Well, you know, David, when people hear about retirement red zone, a lot of times I do believe they get confused or they don't understand the full definition of the retirement red zone. They just think, well, it's 5 to 10 years from retirement. But if we get specific, we're talking about a pivotal window here. Which year, in your opinion, do you shift to accumulation to distribution in the retirement red zone?
Good question. I think this depends on the client, but I think And I say that, Jim, and it's mine. I know it's a lot of my answers, but certain clients are healthier than others. Certain clients retire earlier than others. Certain clients have different assets than others. Certain clients have more assets than others. Certain clients have more pensions than others. So a lot of these questions are asked to an advisor, and the right answer to every question is it depends on the client. Now, I will say the average retiree for a client that I'd say that really you should be shifting towards looking at distribution side is probably 55. And that's where you really have to understand that when you're 59 and a half, you're going to be able to use those assets without a penalty. So that's 5 years before that 60-year-old mark. But I do think that that depends on the client and the age and where they are and what assets they have. You know, if you have non-qualified assets, we're looking more at a non-retirement account portfolio. So that brings up, you know, okay, now we can make, you know, dividends or interest or however that can come about, right? Without creating a, let's just say, a penalty-free withdrawal tactic, okay? Now, when it comes down to it, I think that 55 is important, but every client, Jim, is going to have their own way to look at it. And I look at every client differently because I've got clients that are worth $5 million plus. And they're less worried about their income than they are, you know, taxable assets. And am I going to give some to my kids? And is it going to be taxable when I give it to them? Because they just, the gross are going to outweigh the income by far. And they're not spending the income, right? I've also got clients that are worth 500 grand. And that 500 grand needs to last them for the rest of their entire lives, right? So now it's a whole different equation, right? The percentage of assets changes, right, with what I'm doing because of the income that needs to come in. That same that goes with debt. If you're out there and you have no debt, right, you're in a lot better position than someone with fixed expenses of $3,000 to $4,000 a month. Okay. Because that's $3,000 to $4,000 a month that you don't have to spend, right? That you could use on other things, that you could use on other trips, vacations, free money, you know, variable money. So it really, I know a lot of times people want an exact answer, but that's why I think it's so important on this podcast to really, really in this radio show to really talk to people about why it's important that they look at to themselves and they look at what their problems are. It's not going to be the same as everyone else. And I think that's, you know, I had a client bring four different friends to the next seminar. And I said, you can listen to this guy, you know, he's awesome. And I said, you know, as I was going over it, they all said the same thing. Well, no one talks about that side, right? No one talks about each person needing different things and why it's important to plan individually. Every single advisor group out there wants to talk about, hey, I can make you this, or I can do this for you, or I can plan this because you're on, you know, you're in this asset group or this age group. And it just doesn't work like that, Jim. And that's where it's hard to be a good advisor. And that's why I think I love doing it. So,
well, retirement planning isn't just about accumulating the biggest possible account balance. It's about turning those savings into a reliable source of income that supports the life you've worked so hard to build. Starting that transition 5 to 10 years before retirement gives you more options and often leads to better outcomes. If you have any questions or want to get started, visit us on the web at retirementplanningpipeline.com. Again, that's retirementplanningpipeline.com. or call 850-565-1705. Coming up later, the final stretch to retirement. But up next, why are Americans pulling back on retirement savings? The Retirement Planning Pipeline will be right back.
Visit Retirement Planning Pipeline to schedule your free, no-obligation, complimentary consultation today. The Retirement Planning Pipeline will return in just a moment.
Retirement should feel secure, not uncertain. If market swings have you feeling uneasy, you've probably heard about annuities. But what aren't they telling you? You deserve the full story. That's why we created a free guide that explains the good, the bad, and yes, even the fine print. Inside, you'll learn how annuities can create guaranteed lifetime income, what fees and surrender charges may apply, how the different types of annuities really work, and whether an annuity makes sense for you. It's clear, straightforward information so you can make a confident decision. Contact AmeriLife now to get your free guide to Annuities, the good, the bad, and the fine print. Call 866-554-9546 or go to annuitygoodandbad.com. That's annuitygoodandbad.com.
Silex annuities contain withdrawal charges, interest and bonus recovery, and market value adjustments that may apply to withdrawals made during the withdrawal charge period. Silex annuities are products of the insurance industry and not guaranteed by any bank nor insured by FDIC or NCUA, NCUSIF. Not a deposit, not insured by federal government agency. Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Restrictions apply. May only be offered by a licensed agent.
Any bonuses mentioned may be subject to additional restrictions and regulations based on the offering annuity company. You may not receive the bonuses if the contract is fully surrendered or if traditional annuitization payments are taken. And if the policy is partially surrendered, it could result in a partial loss of bonuses. Because these are bonus annuities, they may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a bonus feature.
Welcome back to the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Alongside retirement planning specialist David Pipes, here's your host, Jim Terabocchia.
Welcome back to the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Thank you for making our show a part of your weekend on WCOA News Talk 104.9 with new episodes every Sunday at 10 a.m. And as we dive back into today's show, a little reminder, if you like the content we're providing, subscribe to the YouTube page, youtube.com, and search Retirement Planning Pipeline for weekly video highlights and special content. Retirement planning isn't about chasing the next hot investment. It's about making informed decisions. And that's why we'd like to send you a complimentary copy of our educational guide, The Good, The Bad, and The Fine Print, Understanding Annuities for Retirement Confidence. Inside, you'll learn how annuities work, the different types available, the potential benefits, the trade-offs, and the important contract details you should understand before making any decisions. There's no cost and no obligation, just straightforward information designed to help you become a more informed retirement investor. Call us today at 850-565-1705 or visit us on the web at retirementplanningpipeline.com to request your free copy. All right, David, according to a story by Yahoo Finance, Americans are beginning to pull back on retirement savings. You've probably heard the advice, pay yourself first and save consistently for retirement. But for many Americans, that's becoming easier said than done. New research shows rising everyday expenses are forcing many workers to reduce or even stop their retirement contributions as they focus on making ends meet. Monthly bills are taking priority. Housing, groceries, healthcare, and insurance, and even transportation costs have climbed, leaving many families with less money available for long-term savings. More people are cutting back contributions. Emergency expenses are driving difficult decisions. Whether it's unexpected medical bills, home repairs, or simply covering everyday living costs, retirement savings are often the first place people look to when cash is tight. Debt is becoming a bigger obstacle because credit card balances continue to weigh on households. In fact, according to Yahoo Finance, about one-third of workers with an employer retirement plan report having more credit card debt than retirement savings. So, David, I know this is a conversation that you're probably having with clients every single week. When you hear statistics like these, what concerns you the most, and what advice do you give someone who's struggling to balance today's financial pressures with tomorrow's retirement goals?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, it's tough to understand that when you're trying to balance, right, life within certain, let's just say, savings, okay, you've got to look at it as that retirement savings just being a non-touch until you turn retirement age. And especially in qualified funds. I mean, I can't push that enough. And if any of you out there are thinking about even touching your 401k IRA before you get to retirement, before you stop working, you might as well just hang it up. You know, I those funds are meant for down the road, for when you need to, you know, have those funds for income, especially with inflation hitting so hard. It's only going to get worse, you know? So I think that number one is, you know, you really have to make sure that you're able to balance both of them. And balancing lifestyle is not easy, right? I mean, everyone wants to do certain things, but, and I go through it every day too. You know, I mean, I put too much money away sometimes and it's like, well, crap, I will want to use it, right? But I tell myself, no, you can't touch it. But I think that it's more of a personal thing than it is anything else. And I think that if you're not in the right mindset, right, to save, you know, I don't think you should do it. I think that credit card bills, first of all, debt, you know, the things that are going to hurt you down the road, or your credit score, or, you know, put you behind on interest payments, things like that. Those are the most important things. You know, I try to live as most debt-free as possible, you know, and what I mean by that is nothing but my houses are the only thing that I owe on, right? My rental houses and my mortgage of my real house. I just don't believe in liabilities, having debt on liabilities. And I just don't believe in, you know, there's just a certain threshold that I think that interest just accumulates and compounds. And I can't see it, right? I mean, one of my car payments was, you know, half of interest, and I just said, I'm not doing this, and I just paid it all off. And I know that sometimes people think it's okay, well, you know, you can use the money somewhere else, blah, blah, blah. But take care of your debt first. And I know I'm kind of talking like more of a Dave Ramsey approach, but what I mean by debt is I mean the debt that's accumulating the most interest possible. I'm not saying if you got an interest rate of 2-3%, don't pay that off. Okay. Right. Use that money for something else. But if it's anything over 5 or 6%, I mean, you know, at some point, you're going to have to realize that that's going to accumulate and grow debt wise more than it is to help you. Right. So if you're at that struggle where you're, you know, you're on the retirement line where you're like, okay, well, I want to keep putting money in retirement away, but I'm hurting, you know, I'm hurting on this side and I need, you know, I have payments to make. The payments should be first. Payments should be first, especially on the liability side. Now, I think that obviously, you know, if you're just going out there and spending extra money out of the heck of it, you know, don't take money out of your investments, right? Let those compound and grow. So it goes both ways, but I think everyone's in different spots, Jim. I really do, you know?
So how do you prioritize paying down high interest debt versus continuing to invest for retirement?
I think that,
and maybe every edges we've talked about many times on this show, every approach is different. Every client is different. But I think overall, just in general, paying down on average high interest debt versus continuing to invest for retirement, or is even that something that can be done?
I don't think it's a question, Jim. I don't even think that's, you know, I think high interest debt's got to be paid first.
Okay.
And that's something that I preach to my mother and father-in-law. That's something that I preach to, you know, a lot of people that are, you know, they'll come ask me certain questions each day. And I, that's my first answer is, look, what's your debt and what is it on? What cars do you have that you're paying on?
Sure.
What's your interest rate? You know, so many people want to say, well, I have a $100,000 loan. I'm like, the loan doesn't matter. It's your interest rate that matters. Because if I know that your, you know, your interest rate's 7.5%, I can almost promise you that that's the number one thing to pay off, right? Unless you have other debt that we don't, you know, the credit card debt that's 22% APR or something like that, that you haven't paid off is totally, totally different. But I think that people misinterpret and I watch it all the time, shoot, my best friends the same way. You know, I mean, they'll go use money on their credit card and they don't have the money to pay it off. And it, to them, it's okay. Well, I'm just using it, right? Because I don't have any money right now and I'll pay it off later. What they don't realize is that the compounding of interest works the same way for you, just as wise as against you. And so to answer to your question, Jim, retirement can wait. If you're not paying off debt now, it won't matter in retirement because your debt's going to compound and kill you down the road. And I've seen plenty of people that get caught in the act of not being able to retire because their debt's too high and their payments are too high. So your retirement can only do so much for you depending on your debt or your fixed payments or your expenses each month. And your expenses keep accumulating if you have debt and your debt keeps accumulating. So you're going to kill yourself either way, you know, but,
I know to your point, David, and I know somebody that currently in their late 20s right here where I live that has accumulated $30,000 of credit card debt. Now you wonder if, I don't know what his mindset is. Certainly we're not talking about retirement with him. But you can sort of draw the correlation, $30,000 of credit card debt. You wonder, how is he ever going to pay that off? And you draw the correlation now to someone, say, in their late 40s or 50s, they may have somewhat similar of credit card debt.
And I think it's happening to more Americans right now, Jim.
Unfortunately.
And I think that people are trying to throw it away and just kind of not think about it. And I think it's just going to eat them alive. I mean, I tell my wife this all the time. She didn't have to worry about any of it, obviously, because I do all the work. But, you know, there's never going to be a point in my life when I am paying something off that's creating a higher amount of interest in my investments is. Mm-hmm. So if my investments are down this year, 2%, I'm not buying anything, right? It's a liability, okay, or credit card debt or putting things on extra that's not making me more than, you know, 2%. We've got to get to the point where you have to understand that offsetting balances is super important, especially when it comes to income and expenses and it comes to debt and liabilities. Mm-hmm. If you're 50 years old and you want to go buy a new truck, but that APR is 7.7% or 7% or 6%, but you look at the payment and you think that your payment's going to be enough that you have your income, you're looking at it all wrong. The income's never the problem, right? Because the income, yes, it pays off the interest and it pays off some of the principal. But you have to really think about what your income could be going towards instead of what it's just, you know, paying off. It's just straight up in economical world. It's the economic, what we call opportunity cost, right? So if I can make 5%, but I lose 5% on a liability, or I pay 5% on an interest rate, but I can make 5% on that same amount of money, right, that I, let's just say, put down or, you know, whatever it is, over the period of time, that's a 10% swing, where people think about it as, oh, I'm only paying 5% interest. No, your opportunity cost is the fact that that money that's paying it off could be gaining 5%. So if you take minus 5% plus the 5% that you could have already made, right, it's 10% swing. People don't look at it that way. And it frustrates me because everyone wants to look at the you know, the easy side of it. Oh, well, I'm going to pay it off. My income could take care of it. Yeah, but if your income could be portioned on a different side where it was accumulating on that asset, and maybe the asset was accumulating at 5%, okay, and then you're not paying that 5% interest, you're in a whole different world.
Sure.
10% compounded in 7 years doubles, mm-hmm. right? So now your money just doubles in 7 years from 50 to 57 or from 55 to 62. Mm-hmm. You're doubling your money instead of what? Depreciating it by 5% each year. So you just have to look at it a different way, Jim.
And I think a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people really understand the dangers of credit cards, the dangers of debt. I mean, I remember a long time ago, Mark Cuban once said, cut up all your credit cards and throw them away and never use them again. Because again, it goes back to what I said with that Yahoo Finance article. A lot of people now have more credit card debt than they actually have retirement savings. And I think that as for you as a financial advisor, as a retirement planning specialist, that should scare you a little bit.
It does. It scares the living crap out of me. But the world's never going to change, Jim. You know, I mean, I can help as many people as I can. I'm hoping that, you know, anyone out there will give me a call and you know, I can answer any questions that's needed. I can try to help with anything that you want. But if you don't fix it yourself, and I can tell you everything that I, you know, that I tell every single client, but it's going to come up to you going home and doing it, right? Because I can't just live your life for you. You know, I mean, I can give you advice, but that, the advice is just as much as you're going to use it, right? So I think that now, and here's the deal, Jim. I mean, I don't think credit cards are bad. I have a debit card, but I don't use it. It's at my house, stowed away somewhere. I have no idea where it is. I only use credit cards. But I have the same day every month I pay that credit card fully off. And if it's not paid fully off, then there is a problem last month that I did. And that's never happened to me because it's always been, as a financial institution, it's always been a, hey, blank, blank, pay, blank, blank, pay, right?
Right.
And credit cards give me points. They give me, you know, a lot of points for certain things. That's why I have multiple different ones. But I think that people are using the credit cards as a wrong, you know, it's like a wrong instrument. It's like something
almost
they-
almost like it's a gift card.
Yeah, and it's not.
It's not.
And yeah, but I don't think people are going to change, Jim.
Unfortunately not.
You know, I don't.
What's that old saying, right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. My father, he would always say that saying to my sister and me growing up.
But it's just that simple to where it's never going to change. And the credit card debt will always be there. And the credit card companies make a fortune off of the interest, you know, but I think the biggest advice though is to start off with the beginning. Just don't get it in the first place, right? And to not get it into the first place, maybe take some of that money that you're putting toward retirement and pay off that credit card debt. Yeah. Don't put it in retirement early, right? Pay it off first, then put the rest in retirement.
While financial pressure is real and many Americans are making difficult choices just to keep up with everyday expenses, but even during challenging times, maintaining some connection to your retirement plan, even if it's a small contribution that you'd like, can help your long-term goals and keep those long-term goals within reach. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Visit us on the web at retirementplanningpipeline.com or call 850-565-1705. You're listening to the Retirement Planning Pipeline.
Helping you take control of your financial future. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline.
When it comes to saving for retirement, who is winning the battle of the sexes? I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. The gender gap is a real thing in the U.S., with women making less money on average compared to men. Congress passed the landmark Title IX law more than 50 years ago, prohibiting gender-based discrimination in education, and that resulted in women pursuing careers that had previously been considered off-limits. And while females have made strides over the years when it comes to finances, a new study from TIAA shows it's men who are setting aside more money for retirement, 27% more to be specific. And while that number is better than in years past, it's still a significant gap.
And in the past year, 78% of men have increased their retirement portfolios through stocks, compared with 51% of females. And now this imbalance really underscores not only the gender wage gap, but it also has really far-reaching implications for long-term retirement security.
Stephanie Asimkos with Yahoo Finance recently reported on the gender gap in retirement savings.
When stretched over the course of a career, a woman's lower wages really directly impact her ability to save for that nest egg and then live comfortably in retirement.
And she says the pandemic surely didn't help the situation. In fact, it got worse.
Because of the pandemic, a preponderance of women have downshifted, taken time away from work to really concentrate on, you know, these pandemic measures of supervising remote schooling for children or caring for aging parents.
The TIAA study also showed women have some catching up to do when it comes to financial literacy. When asked financial questions in a survey, women got 45% of them right, compared to 55% for men. Ann Allen with TIAA told CNBC that all of this underscores the need to equalize financial education among the sexes. So, women, do you have a sound retirement plan in place? That's a key question to consider as all of our retirement years draw closer. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure. Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.
Planning for retirement doesn't have to be overwhelming. Get expert insights, tools, and personalized strategies to secure your future. Visit retirementplanningpipeline.com today. Your retirement, your plan, your peace of mind.
This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline. If you've missed any part of today's program or want to catch up or even listen to previous episodes, go ahead and subscribe and listen to the show in podcast form on Apple, Spotify, or whichever platform you enjoy your podcasts. All right, stay with us because coming up, the five things you should do if you're 1 year out from retirement. But right now, as we do each and every week, it's time to unveil this week's financial wisdom quote of the week.
And now for some financial wisdom. It's time for the quote of the week.
And our financial wisdom quote of the week comes to us from one of the founding fathers of the United States, Benjamin Franklin. Ben says, quote, "An investment in knowledge pays the best interest." Ben, I called him Ben, like him and I are buddies. Benjamin Franklin providing us with this week's financial wisdom quote of the week. And a reminder, be sure to visit us on the web at retirementplanningpipeline.com. Leave us your questions. We'd love to answer them here on the air. So again, leave us your questions, retirementplanningpipeline.com for more. All right, David, let's do something we've never done before on this show. Let's play a little game and test your financial knowledge. This game is called Right or Wrong.
Come on down. As we test your financial knowledge in Right or Wrong.
Okay, right or wrong. Here we go. First question, David. From a fee perspective, ETFs, exchange-traded funds, are far superior products compared to mutual funds. Is that statement right or wrong?
Absolutely correct, Jim. ETFs have a lot lower expense ratio fees, and you know, they're also just more diversified in general. And you can really pick different ones. I think ETFs are like the next level of mutual funds. Anybody who's in mutual funds out there definitely needs to give us a call, especially 401ks.
Okay. Very good. Question number two. If your employer doesn't offer a pension plan, a lot of employers don't now, there's no other way for you to create a personal income stream you can never outlive. Is that statement right or wrong?
False. There are tons of alternative investments out there to create that income stream for you in retirement or planning ahead of retirement.
Okay, well, give me one of those vehicles, and I think I have a hint as to what it might be. Yeah, I mentioned it earlier in the show.
No, but you can do real estate. You can do fixed index annuities. You can do single premium immediate annuities. You can do, you know, there's tons of them out there.
Okay, all right. So, what out of all of those, which one would you ultimately prefer?
I'd say right now, with the rates as high as they are, I'd like the fixed index annuity.
All right, and finally, the question number three. The only way to reduce your taxable income and get into a lower tax bracket are by deducting your mortgage interest and taking advantage of tax credits. Is that right or wrong?
I'd say wrong. Well, completely wrong. Okay. You know, I think
double buzzer there.
Yeah, I think completely wrong. I think that Roth IRAs and life insurance are super important as well.
So. Okay, so out of Roth IRAs, life insurance, which one do you ultimately?
Roth IRAs all the way.
Okay. Why is that?
Just the tax-free growth with no cost of insurance, as well as the, you know, the diversity of what you can do. I mean, when a client has a Roth, I can invest in any security and also be able to, you know, grow that tax-free and also trade within and out that account without any taxes. I mean, that's kind of I would say unbelievably awesome. So,
okay, fair enough. I want to go back to the second question though, when we talked about annuities, or we mentioned fixed indexed annuities, which again are tied to stock market index, allowing those market like gains without the market risk. Your principal is 100% protected. Do you think that's the number one thing? We're going back here to question number two, talking about creating a personal income stream for yourself. Mm-hmm. Do you think that fixed right now, do you think fixed market, fixed indexed annuities are the perfect vehicle if you want to create that personal income stream and you're not getting that pension plan?
As of right now, yes, because the rates are so high and the payout rates towards the client are high. Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. So how much longer do you think that might be the case?
Oh, you're making it hard, Jim. That's going to depend.
Right or wrong, maybe.
That's going to depend on the Fed Reserve, but I'm going to say probably another year.
Another year. Okay. Okay. Well,
maybe 6 months, maybe 6 months.
And then what would come after that?
Just depends on where the market is, Jim.
Okay. So it's more of a case-by-case type thing.
Depends on where the market is. You know, if the market's low, if the stock market's low, if there's great opportunities there. But I would consider taking an opportunity in anything you can for a client, no matter what. And to be able to study those opportunities is the most important thing. So.
Okay. And as a reminder, if you have any questions about this, pick up the phone, give us a call at 850-565-1705. Or visit us on the web at retirementplanningpipeline.com to schedule that free, no obligation consultation. Coming up next, 5 things you should do right now if you're 5 years out from retirement. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Your retirement questions deserve real answers. Call 850-565-1705 to schedule your free, no obligation consultation today. Missed part of today's show? The Retirement Planning Pipeline is available wherever you get your podcasts and at retirementplanningpipeline.com.
Welcome back inside the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that delivers expert insights, actionable advice, and real-world financial strategies to help you retire confidently and comfortably. Jim Tarabocchia here alongside retirement planning specialist David Pipes. Thank you for making our show a part of your weekend on whichever platform of your choosing. Education first, decision second. That's what retirement planning should be all about. There's a lot of information and misinformation about annuities today, and that's why we put together a free educational guide called The Good, the Bad, and the Fine Print, Understanding Annuities for Retirement Confidence. This booklet explains the different types of annuities, how they may fit into a retirement income strategy, and just as importantly, the limitations, trade-offs, and contract details you should know before making any decisions. We believe informing people will help them make a better financial decision. If you'd like this complimentary copy, simply give us a call at 850-565-1705 or visit us on the web at retirementplanningpipeline.com. There's no cost, no obligation, and it's yours free for listening to the Retirement Planning Pipeline. All right, final segment of today's show. If you're 1 year out from retirement, here are the five steps you should take if you're about a year away from retirement. By the way, congratulations. You spent decades saving and planning, but this final stretch isn't the time to put things on autopilot. In many ways, the decisions you make in the last 12 months before retirement can have an outsized impact on how comfortable and confident you'll feel once those paychecks stop coming in. So number one, build your retirement income plan. Number two, build up your cash reserve. Number three, review your Social Security strategy. Number four, do some last-minute tax planning. And number five, give your spending one last final stress test. So, David, when someone walks into your office and tells you they're about 12 months away from retirement, what are the conversations you're having with them? And where do they begin? Why is that final year so critical to getting retirement right and getting on the right track?
Yeah, I think we begin with looking where the assets are. You know, are they fully in stocks? Are they 80-20 in bonds? That, you know, do you have a lot of money in cash reserves or in CDs? Mm-hmm. Where are your assets at? You know, how risky are they? That's the first thing that I kind of, you know, start off with. Okay. Then after I kind of know that, then I get into debt, right? Okay, well, look, with income coming up, with income being needed, we need to figure out how much income is needed. Okay, so where is the debt? What are your fixed expenses? What are you spending per month? What is your lifestyle? You know, and is that lifestyle going to be the same lifestyle that you want to live when you retire? And that's one thing that I think a lot of people, you know, they tend to have to go home and think about it. After they tell me their answer, they have a different answer the next time they see me, and that's just because you don't look. As a retiree, you don't look at what you're going to do. You look at more about the scarcity of doing the retirement. You know, you look at more at why you're nervous to retire instead of what you're going to do. A lot of people aren't looking forward to it, Jim. And that part really annoys me because I think the world today and the corporations today have made it so that now the clients are scared to retire instead of being excited to retire. And I think that that's the bad way to look at it. So I try to make it more of a, hey, look, what are we looking forward to? Right. Let's plan those assets and the income to fund that problem. Right. The problem is we're not going to have the money for when we retire. We don't work anymore. Right. And so no more income coming in. But we want to do blank, blank, blank. So now let's fund that blank, blank, blank. Right. And let's figure out how to make sure that that income stream is going to be a lifetime income stream that you can't outlive. And then we look at growth. And I think it's funny because everyone goes, oh, David, you don't look at growth. No, listen, growth's important. Okay. And I said it, but growth is the last thing that I care about in retirement. Okay. You've grown your entire life. All right. And Warren Buffett says this the best way. Okay. Growth, really, I mean, you talk about compounding interest, is a get rich slowly scheme. Okay. It's a long term part of your life. Sorry to tell you, when you're in retirement, you're not long term no more. Right. You know, you're looking at next year taking on income. You're looking at the next 5 years of having income, next 10 years, next 15 years. You're not looking at 40 years down the road to take income in 40 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the idea has to change. And I think it's tough for people to realize that because, yes, growth's important, but I don't care what anyone says. Mathematically, especially where the market is now, you're not going to be able to predict what you can do in the next 10 years. And I see all these, you know, if a company will make a spreadsheet and the projections and the spreadsheets and say, if we make this much money, this is what you, I mean, all that's bull crap. All of it is. You're never going to know. You could be back in the 08 crisis with 2000, the dead decade, like we like to call it, from 2000, 2010, where you started at one point, ended at the same point in 10 years. Yeah. I mean, you could be there. That happened in history.
Virtually, yeah.
So those people aren't going to agree with you when you're like, oh, well, I have had the best 5 years of my life and the stock market's done great. Now I'm going to stay in it. It's like, no, guys, no, that's not how you look at it. Okay. It's done great. So now capitalize off what you can do with it. Mm-hmm. Right. Change it into income and then take the rest and make sure it's still long-term growth. Because yes, long-term growth will always win the stock market, not short-term growth. Okay. So that's kind of my way of looking at it, right? Looking at income, looking at, hey, look, what are we looking at? Let's solve the problem. Now the rest we can grow. And if you want access to it, you can have it. But I think if any of you out there, and I'm sure a lot of you are doing this, are taking regular distributions off your investments, or your advisor has you asking for money, or your advisor is giving you $3,000 to $4,000 a year or a month out of your investments, you're doing it all wrong. Hear me again. If you have your advisor just giving you money out of your investments for until you die, you got to reassess your goals, because that's not the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think that I think the advisor's fault was they didn't assess your goals first. Take care of your income needs, which is obviously you're taking money out. So you're needing income. Okay. Now, what the other part about it is, if you just want growth and you don't want to touch it, that's totally fine. You know, we can do that too. I love a stock market, but plan to not touch it. Right. I mean, I tell every client that, look, you want aggressive? That's the point of the stock market.
Yeah.
Right. That's the point of the market. The point of the market is not for, you know, little bitsy 3-4% here and there. No, the point of the market is to grow compounded, you know, and I tell everyone that. So I think that, you know, with risk, you have to have some type of reward. If you're not going to give me any risk, I'll just go get a CD for 4%.
Sure.
Right. I mean, shoot, why not? It's the same thing. And now I have no risk and I'm, you know, why not?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to get a guaranteed interest rate.
Well, you know, one of the talking about here in our final segment of today's show, the five steps you should take if you're about a year away from retirement. And one of those steps actually was the final step, number five, give your spending plan one last stress test. If you're talking with a client, and again, they're 1 year out from retirement, what do you recommend as a stress test for their retirement so they don't run out of money?
I would say, see, I don't like stress tests because I'm a big fan of not having to deal with the stress. So I like to go above the limit of what they think that they need. Right. I think I like to take care of income and make sure it's taken care of. I don't like to be $1,000 off a month or $500 off a month. I want them to be comfortable with retirement, to know that they can spend it, and to know that, you know, if they don't spend it, we can reinvest it. So I think that taking care of the income first, more than enough income, maximizing your income with Social Security, as well as investments transitioning into distributions, are the most important thing for any client out there. And that's the big part of retirement, Jim.
Okay, very good then. So really, you're not a fan of the stress. You don't really believe in stress test, because really, I guess your goal as their retirement planning specialist is to not have them have any stress or have to maybe go from that when they are retired.
Why stress test? I mean, why not just take care of that stress early? If you solve the problem the right way, you shouldn't have any stress.
All right. So again, if you have any questions about this, give us a call, 850-565-1705. And remember, retirement isn't just about reaching that finish line. It's about successfully making the transition into a completely new phase of life. Spending a little extra time preparing during your final working year can help reduce stress, avoid costly mistakes, and give you much greater confidence once retirement officially begins. That phone number again, 850-565-1705. 865-1705. Visit us on the web at retirementplanningpipeline.com and schedule that free, no obligation consultation. If you've missed any part of today's show, don't forget to subscribe to the program in podcast form on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the show on YouTube. Search Retirement Planning Pipeline on YouTube for clips and special content as well. Thanks for listening. This is the Retirement Planning Pipeline. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Retirement Planning Pipeline, the show that helps you take control of your financial future. Whether you're 5 to 10 years from retirement or just getting started, retirement planning specialist David Pipes has the strategies, tools, and experience to help you make the most of your nest egg. Take control of your financial future and get started today by visiting retirementplanningpipeline.com. And if you missed any part of today's show or want to catch up on past episodes, be sure to subscribe to the Retirement Planning Pipeline wherever you get your podcasts. Not affiliated with the United States government, AmeriLife agents do not offer tax, legal, or investment advice. Consult with your tax advisor or attorney regarding specific situations. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice. These opinions are not intended as investment advice, nor do they predict future performance of any product. All information provided is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation or warranty as to the accuracy of any statement. This information is intended to be educational in nature and does not provide a guarantee or specific result. All copyrights and trademarks are the property of the respective owners. AmeriLife assumes no responsibility or liability for the content of this message. The information contained herein is provided on an as-is basis with no guarantees of completeness, accuracy, usefulness, timeliness, or the results obtained from the use of this information.
Charles David Pipes is an individually licensed and appointed agent. Learn more at retirementplanningpipeline.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. BCM and AmeriLife are separate companies but are affiliated through common ownership. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest. Please refer to our firm brochure, the ADV-2A, Item 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by Brookstone. Indexed or fixed annuities are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to caps, restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Buffered ETFs can be held indefinitely, resetting at the end of each outcome period. There's no guarantee the funds will achieve their investment objective. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. The funds have characteristics unlike many other traditional investment products and may not be suitable for all investors. For more information regarding whether an investment in the funds is right for you, please see Investor Suitability in the prospectus. The fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses should be considered carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other important information. Read it carefully before investing.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest. Please refer to our firm brochure, the ADV-2A, Item 4, for additional information.
Well, pretty much everything is expensive these days, from the grocery store to the gas pump to everywhere in between. And so finding ways to save really is a very good thing, to say the least. These days. And joining me to talk more about that and some ways that you can save is Stephen Perrine with AARP. He's actually the executive editor of AARP, the magazine, and AARP Bulletin. Stephen, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, so talk about this. Okay, you've got the 99 great ways to save from AARP Bulletin. And I feel like, you know, every year, really, I think it's in its 17th year now. Every year it seems like, oh, this is great. These are, you know, there's some great tips in here. But in a year like 2026, when we're, you know, inflation has been wreaking havoc for a while now, it's a really great thing to have. What are some of the biggest tips that maybe stand out for you when it comes to, you know, I mentioned, say, groceries, for example, like some great ways to save there?
Sure. I mean, groceries are definitely where we're feeling maybe the most stress of all right now. So one of the things is that grocery stores are really great at getting you to buy extra stuff. You go on the list of five things, you come out with five bags full of groceries. So do this. Use those online or in-store apps where you can order your groceries ahead of time. Have them bagged up and you just pick them up in the parking lot. That way you don't have to go in the store. It saves you time, but it can also save you a lot of money because you don't have to fend off all those sales pitches. Another good idea is to try to move around at different stores. Don't just shop in one place. Go to the big box stores for that, to the stuff you can save in your pantry. But then to go to some specialty stores or discount grocery stores, well, make sure you look for the store brands, which can be exactly the same as bigger brands, but could save you pennies or even dollars. By the way, if you're ordering a lot of stuff online, here's a tip that could save you a ton. Go ahead and whatever retailer you're on, go ahead and fill up your grocery, your cart. But before you press purchase, take a breath, close your browser, and step away from the computer. Now, chances are in the next hour or two, you're going to get one of those emails that said, hey, did you forget about us? Most people don't open those emails. But in about a third of cases, they contain discount codes that you can then use to apply to your cart and wind up with the same stuff you were going to buy in the first place, but a substantial savings.
Well, that is wonderful. You know, I am one of those people who does not open those emails. I'm like, oh, you're just bothering me now. I'll get around to it whenever I can. And I love that. I love that tip. One of the big things, too, you know, we talk about inflation being one of the big things that are it's on people's minds. Obviously, the, you know, makes this interview very apropos these days. But also AI is becoming a much bigger part of everyday life. Are there any ways that people can actually utilize AI to help them save money?
Well, you can use AI to help plan things like trips or what have you. Ask it to find you the cheapest deals. It's pretty effective at that. But here's a great idea. We're all dealing almost on a daily basis, fighting with utilities, insurance companies, banks, credit cards. What are these late fees? What are these weird charges? Why am I spending money on this? But talking with customer service, it can be a little stressful. So do this. Go to your AI, type in exactly the charges that you're trying to fight, why you're fighting them, and let it create a script for you. Now, when you call customer service, not only do you have all of your points in front of you, but you have sort of a digital coach over your shoulder, coaching you on what to say and helping you to claw back those fees and charges.
I love that. An actual, you know, good, positive use for AI. One thing that's very expensive this year as well, due to, you know, the rising and highly fluctuating gas prices, has been travel. Are there places, you know, when planning travel that people are really, you know, overspending, maybe without even realizing it?
Well, if you're road tripping this summer, if you have any sort of an added roof rack on your car, like a bike rack or storage rack, go ahead and get that off before you head out on the highway. Those can add up to 25% to your fuel costs because of the drag they create. When you are on the highway, don't do what I do, which is wait until the needle gets down to E and then panic. Instead, get off the highway early on and go a mile or two off out of your way. Gas stations right off the highway can charge as much as 40 cents a gallon more than stations just a mile or so down the road. So you can make real savings and also save yourself a lot of stress.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, just about time for us to wrap things up here, Stephen, but is there somewhere people can go? Now, once again, the publication is the 99 Great Ways to Save from AARP Bulletin. Where can people go to see all of those 99 ways?
Well, you can find a lot of tips, all of these tips, really, plus offers for all kinds of discounts at aarp.org/99 ways to save.
Very good. Stephen Perrine, executive editor of AARP the magazine and AARP Bulletin. Thank you so much for taking some time for me. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.